Episode 207 of Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world effectively manage risk. For access to free educational tools and resources for the active individual trader, please visit activetrader.cmegroup.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in for this episode with Mark Lamb. Remember, new shows are posted every Monday and Thursday. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes or YouTube. Now, if you are enjoying the show, please leave a review on iTunes. Before I play today's interview for you, I want to give a shout out to the great sponsors of Futures Radio Show. CME Group, Trading Technologies, RJO Futures, and Top Step Trader. To learn more about these sponsors and the important things they are doing for futures traders, be sure to click on their logos on our website. Now, in this episode, I spoke with Mark Lamb, co-founder and head of liquidity at CoinFloor. Mark has probably one of my all-time favorite backstories. He became an entrepreneur in high school and started buying Bitcoin at $8. He actually borrowed money to buy as much Bitcoin as he could. Pretty amazing the foresight that Mark had. We talked about his company, CoinFloor, what it is, and why he started it. We discussed Bitcoin as a physically delivered future, cold storage, and are there any regulations that he has to deal with being a cryptocurrency exchange? As usual, thank you all for listening, and please enjoy this episode. Mark, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, you just flew in, so it's great to speak with you here in London at IDX. We're going to talk about your exchange, CoinFloor, today. That's going to be really the primary focus, which is actually the longest running, and on many days when I was reading about it, the largest Bitcoin volume in the UK. So that's pretty cool. So I'm excited to speak with you about that. But you also have a very, very cool backstory on how you got started in the industry, started this exchange, going all the way back to high school. So, Mark, let's start there. How did it all begin for you in this crypto industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had a tech consultancy back in high school. We did all sorts of consulting, websites, programming, software, and the like for businesses in the area back in LA. Moved over to London for business school and started developing a mobile payments and kind of loyalty points application, which incorporated its own virtual currency. So through that business, I got exposed to the payment space and then got exposed to the money and virtual currency side of things. I started learning about the nature of money and how that all existed. And I found out about Bitcoin very early on back in 2012 when it was trading about $8. I bought as many as I could. I borrowed some money to buy more, and I started market making in the local UK OTC markets. Pretty quickly became 10 to 20% of the market, and the spreads were, 10% on oftentimes. And so I was seeing this massive opportunity, but on a very, very wide margin, very, very low volume. And I saw, what if we flip it? What if we can grow this market into being a very, very low margin, very, very high volume business and create an actual exchange rather than just this big OTC market that existed in the UK. So I, found some partners and we created CoinFloor together.
Mark, you got to take me back to the time where you were buying Bitcoin at $8, man. Look, I was a skeptic back then. I knew about it. No way did I have the vision like you. Why?
Oh, thank you. Well, I could see that there was this payments. I had had some frustrating dealings with the banking system just from moving my own personal funds around in university and experiencing delays or wires not going through. And I saw the efficiency of Bitcoin and what it allowed you to do in terms of making all these frictionless payments to other friends and family and businesses. Even then, there were some businesses starting to get around, and I was good friends with the people behind BitPay and some of the other Bitcoin companies, and so I was seeing the space, and I actually saw a number of exchanges collapsing, and that was really seeing other exchanges both being formed, shutting down, and operating was really what got me into, wow, Bitcoin is this amazing technology. It allows this frictionless payments between people all over the world, and there's a finite supply of it. So like gold, there's a finite supply, and there's no inflationary pressure, but like PayPal or some sort of internet payment or email, really, it's completely frictionless. So it was just very attractive to me back in those days. I thought this could potentially be something that billions of people use, and if it's used by billions, it's got to be worth a lot more than I think $8 and probably $100 million in total market cap at the time.
Man, I got to tip my hat to you. That is awesome. I absolutely love hearing stories like that. Now take us to modern day right now in CoinFloor. Give us some more details of what you guys do at CoinFloor.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have been the longest running spot exchange in the UK. So we're the place where most individuals and corporations and trading firms buy or sell Bitcoin with British pounds, and we're the main British pound Bitcoin market. And we've recently launched the world's first physically delivered futures exchange. So because in the UK we focused on the higher end of the market and the institutional clients and high value clients, we've been listening to that feedback, and we've seen that this market is going to go in the direction of futures. Obviously, with the launch of CME, we were very pleased that other futures products have been emerging, but also that it's going to go in the direction of physically delivered futures. Because when you look at oil, gold, corn, treasuries, carbon credits, anything typically in the traditional futures industry, anything that can be delivered is delivered, and anything where the futures contracts have both a cash settled equivalent and a physically delivered equivalent, the majority of the volume trades in the physically delivered equivalent. So we've seen these trends and we've seen these patterns, and we're very excited to be launching and now, you know, it's open for trading. People are integrating. People are starting to get going. It's starting to build up. But we're very pleased to be having physically delivered futures in the Bitcoin market now.
Yeah, it's very interesting. When I was reading about it, I read that you are a spot exchange in the UK, a futures exchange in the British Virgin Islands. So you're not in the UK for that, and also not in the US. So why are you in the British Virgin Islands for futures, and why are you in the UK for the spot exchange?
Yeah, sure. So in terms of our historic, our history, we've been in the UK because this market's been extremely pro-crypto from 2013 onwards. So when we launched, we had discussions with the FCA. They were very receptive to feedback. They were very open. They made it very clear they didn't want to regulate the space initially, and they wanted to, you know, take their time and encourage innovation here. And in fact, one of our investors is actually Passion Capital, and a big LP of theirs is the UK government. So we do have funding from the UK government indirectly, and a huge amount of support here. And so that's really why we've been in the UK for our main business, our spot business. And for our new business, which we're incredibly excited about, we wanted to launch it in the BVI because it was the most welcoming and receptive, similarly to the UK, it was the most welcoming and receptive environment for futures. So because we're doing physical delivery in a way that's different from the way oil contracts are delivered, we have this margin ramp up and this whole process around that. The BVI was the most forward thinking in terms of allowing us to get up to speed quickly in that market. And that's been incredibly useful, especially when you're operating not just a local market in the UK, but for futures, it's a very global offering, targeting people in all over the world, and dealing mostly with the higher end of the market, corporates and high net worth individuals all over the world. It's a great place to get going, is the British Virgin Islands.
Okay, so it's not because of rules or regulations?
No, it was entirely because there was no existing structures that would force us into doing physical delivery the way it is for other contracts. So other regulatory environments were not as up to speed and as welcoming as the British Virgin Islands.
Okay, so the next question I have is, you talked about it being physically delivered. How do you actually physically deliver it?
Well, the interesting thing, I mean, when you look at futures contracts, this physical term is an interesting one, and maybe for crypto it isn't right, but the interesting thing is, when you look at treasury futures and also carbon credit futures, these are also digital products. There's no paper certificates that actually exist. So those products similarly are physically delivered, but it's digital. The difference between physical and cash settled is that on a cash settled product, there's an index price, and then the P&L between the trade and the index settlement is settled between the short and the long end of the contract. With a physical contract, anyone who's long, so on CoinFloorX, anyone who's long a Bitcoin future will receive a Bitcoin. And similarly, anyone who's short a Bitcoin future will receive dollars and have to deliver Bitcoin at the end of that monthly period. And so what this does is it gives the short seller or the long buyer exact certainty on what they're delivering, what they're receiving on either end. And so from a market maker's perspective or a commercial hedger's perspective, this type of certainty allows you to be much tighter with your prices and allows you to have a lot more confidence in holding a position to expiry. As we all know, most people in the futures world don't hold a position to expiry. And that's fine for an intraday trader. They're probably never going to, even in our contract. But for a market maker, they're very likely to potentially need to have a position held to expire. There might be requirements put on them by the exchange to hold some amount of exposure to expiry or to market make all the way up until that final moment. And if you're market making and quoting prices and arbing and delta hedging and other products on a cash settled future, you're exposed to that index, which could be manipulated. So you could be short and someone could sell large amounts in that spot exchanges that underlie that index, and that's a form of manipulation that it can happen in a cash settled future. Now, in a physical future, that sort of manipulation will not affect you and is actually not possible to do. You can't manipulate an index price because there's no index price we base our contracts off of. So anyone doing what's called cash and carry or a basis trade, which is buying spot and selling futures or selling spot and buying futures and capturing that delta, can just hold that basis trade or cash and carry trade all the way to expiry, and they know exactly how much money they're going to receive in P&L. Similarly and conversely with a cash settled future, if you're holding a basis trade to expiry and let's say the basis or the delta between spot and futures is $100, you don't know if you're going to receive exactly $100 or if it's going to be 80 or if it's going to be 120 or if it's going to be 50 or even if it's going to be negative. But with a physical future, you do a basis trade and the delta is $100, you will receive exactly $100 in your P&L by just delivering Bitcoin or delivering cash and receiving the opposite.
So when you talk about the delivery, do they have to be on your spot exchange or can it be on a different one, Coinbase, Kraken, etc.?
The Bitcoin can be taken from any exchange. So you can source the Bitcoin anywhere and you have to deliver the Bitcoin to CoinFloorX. So that's also one of the advantages, which is if you're market making cash settled future based on an index, you really should be trading on the four component exchanges that compose that index. But if you're making a market in a physical future and you're sourcing Bitcoin somewhere else, selling and buying Bitcoin somewhere else, you can do that on whichever spot exchange is most convenient for you. So whichever has the tightest prices for buying or for selling. And there's no dependency on the Bitcoins from Kraken or GDAX or whatever. You can source your exposures anywhere you like.
Okay, so what percentage of those trading these physically delivered futures are taking delivery?
Well, with almost all futures contracts, whether they're cash settled or physically delivered, very small percentage of the participants trading and the open exposure and the contracts actually get held to expiry. But the importance is, when you are looking to, let's say you are an intraday trader and you're holding that position close to expiry, or you're a large hedge fund and you have a very large position and you're trying to roll that, in that week or 2 weeks before expiry and you want to roll, you want a liquid market that you can easily get out of that front contract and get into that back contract. And that liquidity is going to be much more present, much more there in a physical contract than in a cash settled contract, because again, market makers know that they have the reliability of physical delivery. So it's a very small percentage, but having that surety, having that guarantee of physical delivery ensures the integrity of the contracts all the way up to expiry.
Okay, something I'm not sure about, and you talked about how you guys are in the UK and you're using Bitcoin versus the pound. Now, are the futures Bitcoin US dollar, Bitcoin pound, or what are
yeah,
they?
So they're Bitcoin US dollar.
So the Bitcoin US dollar, that's the only currency that's the physically delivered.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha. So talk to us about cold storage. Explain to everyone what it is first.
Sure. So cold storage refers to the process of keeping the private keys, so the actual keys that control the Bitcoins, which is a string of text that can be used with the Bitcoin blockchain and to sign transactions and move Bitcoin around the blockchain, keeping these private keys offline. So you can either store keys on an internet-connected device, a server or a laptop or a computer that is connected to the internet, or you can store them on a computer that has never been connected to the internet. And with CoinFloor, most Bitcoin and crypto exchanges keep the majority of their coins in cold storage. So this is on computers that have never been connected to the internet. It's usually an air-gapped machine or an air-gapped device some sort of device that stores the keys. And the difference between us and other exchanges in the space is that we don't stop at 91%, 95%, 99% cold storage. We go all the way to 100%. So all client Bitcoins are stored offline in cold storage underground, and they're actually stored in vaults with the same type of security mechanisms in place as the Bank of England. So this is something very different from other exchanges, because when you are a large exchange, you're holding a substantial amount of client funds, and even 1% can be a massive hit to the company. So for someone like any other exchange, they're often holding less than 100%, and that poses a risk to the business. We've decided, let's just eliminate that risk. And since we're dealing with higher volume customers and higher net worth customers, they can accept the once a day or multiple times a day withdrawal times, and they don't need those instant withdrawal times that you get from a server.
What do the futures volumes look like?
So the volumes are low, but they're growing. We're having a number of market makers from all over the world, really, integrating into the platform, starting to quote prices, quote two-way spreads, and then we're starting to also build up the taker side, so the intraday traders. And we actually have a large amount of demand from takers, from the institutional players, the hedge funds. We've built up a large amount of that demand, and so it's partially, obviously, you know, as you start up a new product, it's solving that chicken and egg problem. So as we get more market makers on, we get more takers on, the volumes start building, and that's the exciting process we're going through right now.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's very exciting. Final question before we get into rapid fire. Cryptocurrency regulation. From what I hear, there isn't any. But you're an exchange. I'm wondering, are you facing any cryptocurrency regulation?
Well, the regulatory piece is so fascinating, because it's different all over the world. And, you know, anyone can say they're regulated or they're not regulated, and it's always hard to figure out what that means. And at CoinFloor, we take regulatory compliance very, very seriously. The UK does not have regulation around crypto exchanges yet. But we've been working with the FCA, the UK government, the EU Commission, to put this in place. It will be coming into place in the next money laundering directive, which is going into effect. And there will be basic regulation around money laundering regulations. We're also looking at other forms of regulation with the FCA. So it's a very exciting process. And we also have a regulated exchange in Gibraltar, which is CoinFloor Exchange Gibraltar. So But when you look at regulation, it's about the attitude and the mindset of the company. So we do KYC on all of our customers. We have a whole team focused on compliance, and we want to be preemptively compliant with regulations because we're working with the government to put them in place and to think about them with them and make sure that they get it right. So that's been an important thing.
Fascinating stuff, Mark. Really enjoyed this conversation, but we're not done yet. I have some rapid fire questions if you're ready for those. All right, everyone, our rapid fire segment is sponsored by Trading Technologies. Access the global markets from virtually anywhere with TT. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. And now you can trade cryptocurrency spot and derivative markets side by side. For more information, please visit tradingtechnologies.com. Mark, first question. Who has influenced your life the most and why?
Yeah, so I think in the business world, it would definitely be my co-founder and business partner, Obi. He comes from an e-commerce background and from a technology background and an engineering mindset. And the way he thinks about problem solving and building solutions and building products and building teams as well has completely changed the way I think about things. As well as there's been a number of traders, including customer of ours, that have had a huge influence on my life, just in terms of thinking about physical delivery, thinking about futures, understanding derivatives, and understanding these markets and the infrastructure and manpower and people that underpin them. Because at the end of the day, markets are all about people, and the people behind them is often just as fascinating as the products themselves.
What was one of the hardest things that you've had to overcome in trading cryptos?
I think in the trading side of it, it's definitely when you think about the volatility and the massive swings, it can be very difficult for a lot of people to get their head around. As an exchange operator, we have this privileged position of being market neutral, but as someone who has a deep interaction and deep bond with the top customers and the top clients, I think being there for the market when they're going through those big swings has been something that's been incredibly challenging and also incredibly exciting to get my head around. So that's been great.
How has your crypto trading evolved over the years?
I don't trade now that we're a futures exchange. I don't trade myself. I have a few long-term positions of a few cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, that type of thing. But other than that, I stay out of the markets. But in the last few years, it's kind of evolved from being just in 2012 long only and a bit of market making once we launched the exchange, just long only and occasionally buying and selling. And it's been interesting as I've gotten to know traders more over the years. I've started to look at more of when the market's looking like it's about to crash, when we're probably overbought, when we've seen kind of the despair fully immersed. And actually, my wife ended up buying a large amount in the 200s range. So hopefully, I had something to do with that decision, but. But yeah, it's been sort of one of the things that's been very, very present and very, very big has been just the evolution of the psychology of the market. So as you see people in the depths of despair or the heights of exuberance, that's when you kind of think, okay, maybe we're overbought here, or maybe the despair is over and it's probably a good time to re-enter. So that's definitely been exciting.
What's the number one resource you spend your time on?
I think the number one resource is probably at this stage Telegram. The crypto market is incredibly social and incredibly interactive, and there's a number of trading chats and trading channels and groups and chat groups that go on Telegram, the chat platform. Probably second to that would be Reddit, or actually second to that would be Twitter, and third would be Reddit at this point. But Telegram is definitely a solid number one.
What's your favorite book about trading or the markets?
Good Derivatives by Richard Sandor is by far my favorite book around futures markets, because he gives the perspective of someone who's been an executive and an innovator in futures products, at a number of exchanges. So he was on the board of ICE. He started his own exchange. He was involved in CBOE and CBOT. And so that type of experience has been really, really interesting to learn from.
What's your favorite movie or TV show about trading or the markets?
I think probably Margin Call, because it captures the stresses of a very, very volatile market and the types of scenarios you can find yourself in when dealing with situations where you have to be on the top of your game and kind of working around the clock.
Mark, what's the best piece of advice that you've received about trading or the markets?
Just because you find a dollar on the ground, don't sell it for 50 cents.
Now, if you can give a piece of advice to the new people interested in getting involved in crypto asset trading, what would it be?
Trial and error is your friend. So experiment, try to get yourself emotionally detached from your positions and the trades you're doing, and try things out, because trading is always a personal thing, and there's a huge psychological component to it. So what works for your friend might not work for you, and you need to figure out what works best for you. And so the best way to do that is experimentation.
Last question for today. If you weren't involved with crypto assets and markets and running an exchange, you'd be doing what?
I have absolutely no idea.
Mark, where can people find you on Twitter, and give us a website to check out?
Mark David Lamb, MarkDavidLamb on Twitter. And the website is coinfloorex.com.
Everyone, after hearing this conversation today, you know what you have to do. You have to go and follow Mark on Twitter and check out his website. Mark, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with me today on Futures Radio Show.
Thank you so much, Anthony. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.